Welcome, everyone, to an emergency edition of the NBA podcast. We were not planning on recording prior to the trade deadline, but the Sacramento Kings had to do the most Kangs move of all time. They have officially, finally traded DeMarcus Cousins, so we will be talking about all the implications there, including what it means for Sacramento and New Orleans and some of the side effects from the deal. Before we get underway, just a reminder, you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod, and there you can find all three of our Twitter handles, so be sure to give us a follow as well. You can find us this year on iTunes, so we'd love it if you subscribe, download the episodes, leave us some reviews, we'd love any feedback. And we are also hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports, and for their NBA content at FanRag NBA. We have Zach Harper with us for through the end of the year. He's been writing great stuff about All-Star Weekend and now the trade deadline, so check out all the great content at FanRag Sports. Joining me today to discuss this DeMarcus Cousins trade is none other than Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
It's going well, Brian. I'm kind of puzzled by this trade.
I am too, so let's get right into it. So for those who have not seen the full details yet or who believed their timelines were lying to them on Sunday night when the trade details were announced, the Kings traded Cousins and Omri Caspi to the New Orleans Pelicans for Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, the Pelicans' 2007 first-round pick, which is top three protected. So if the Pelicans jump in the top three, they keep their pick. And then the 2017 second-round pick that New Orleans owned from Philadelphia. So, Mort, the top question that we need to ask is just how badly did the Kings get fleeced here?
Oh, so bad. Like, you know, Omri Caspi was included, and you could make the argument that a fully healthy Omri Caspi is basically what you traded for in terms of the return. And then the Kings just decided to throw in DeMarcus Cousins because why not?
Right.
Like, that's the value.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea how they did not wait until Thursday.
Right.
Like, I know that this was apparently the best offer that was on the table, but then you don't pull the plug, or pull the trigger, I should say. You pull the plug and say, nope, not going to happen. We're going to wait on Thursday because some team, Boston, might actually get a little bit interested / desperate if, you know, the Lakers might be desperate. But instead, they're just like picking the best option they had at this current moment, and that seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah, I think that is a very fair view of, especially in terms of timeline. I'm with you. I don't know why you pull the trigger 4 days prior to the deadline when we all know that deadlines tend to force action and force the best offers. You often get lowballed a couple days before, and then as desperation rises, so do the offers. David Aldridge of Turner Sports reported that the Kings wanted the Pelicans to throw in their 2019 first round pick, and the Pelicans said no. And then the Kings were like, "Oh, well, okay, we tried," which is absurd. Like the draft capital they got here. I mean, the fact that the Pelicans not only said no to that, but then were also like, "Also, we want our 2017 first round pick. We want top three protection there. So if we hit the lottery,
yeah,
like we still have a chance to have Boogie, Brow, Drew Holiday, plus a top three pick." Whereas the Kings, like the most upside they have now is, you know, the Pelicans, maybe Boogie and Brow completely implode. The Pelicans fall to like what, number 10 in the lottery? Like, there's not much. You're basically getting a mid first round pick, maybe right, like late lottery, if the Pellies don't make the playoffs. But at this point, you know, their playoff chances just took a huge jump forward. So yeah. I'm with you. I just can't believe that was the best offer for him. Like, you know, the chemistry concerns, have been an issue for a while, and teams are hesitant to bring him on for that reason. But like, you're telling me Boston in particular, like, isn't Jaylen Brown on his own better than everything the Kings just got?
Just one Brooklyn pick would have been better than what they got.
Yeah, it's just...
I mean, And it's Boogie. Like, under Brad Stevens, hells yeah, I'd take that option.
Yeah.
I make that choice.
Yeah.
Obviously. There is no logic to this trade in terms for the Kings. I love the fact that New Orleans, a team that is, I want to say, in the bottom five of the league in terms of trade assets,
mm-hmm.
could get the best center in the league.
It's unreal.
That's just, like, I mean, they were strapped for assets.
Yeah.
They had nothing, and they just got the best center in the league.
Right. It looked like Dell Demps was going to get fired this summer, you know, because they really just didn't have a way to tangibly improve their roster, especially once you re-signed Drew Holiday. So it looked like, you know, the whole concern is like, is Anthony Davis just going to waste his entire prime playing for a lottery-bound team or like a 35-40 win team? You know, suddenly with, you know, DeMarcus is there. He signed through the 2017-18 season. So they have at least a year and a half with him now. He has less incentive to sign an extension, which we will touch on later. But even still, this is not like, you know, it's not like the Ibaka trade in Toronto, where Ibaka could be a 2-month rental. Like, Boogie signed for an entire year after this. So it's just unreal value for the Pelicans. Good job from Dell Demps. It's like all those bad trade proposals you see on Twitter, and then you're always like, oh, no way. No way a team would do that. The Sacramento Kings just proved there is value in just throwing just your worst offer against the wall and seeing if a team will just, in a moment of weakness, accept it. So we could rail on the Kings all day for this value, but I do want to touch on a lot of the other components of this trade. So, I want to focus on the Pelicans now, because I think they're going to be really fun with Boogie and Brow. They could make a late run toward the playoffs, or even if not, we still have the entire, 2017-18 season to see how they mesh together. So how do you see that fit working out on the court?
The fact that Anthony Davis has begun shooting the three ball, he's not hitting him at a big clip, but he is like capable from out there. You got to guard him.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Boogie has actually turned into a pretty terrific, very underrated three-point shooter,
mm-hmm.
that means you probably won't have the same collapse down low. So, you won't necessarily clock things up. You would create driving lanes. Now you would need a slasher, though. I wonder if Drew Holiday could take on that role. I have a feeling that he could benefit greatly from having those two guys out there, especially in a spread pick and roll situation. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. But I also like the fact that you have a bully now down there, because mm-hmm. as much as I love Anthony Davis, he is fairly thin and he is a finesse player. And when he went down there and really had to take the punishment, you could just sense it. So I think this kind of removes the injury concern with him a little bit, because now you have Cousins you can throw down there and he'll just pound on people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really digging the lineup. I know a lot of people have been like, nah, I don't really know. I don't care. It's the best power forward and the best center. Like, they'll make it work somehow.
Right. And if it's not with Alvin Gentry, then you fire Alvin Gentry and get a coach who can make it work. Like,
You're not
married to the system. You know, he's got 2 months to prove that he can figure out ways to use them together. But, like, there might be some hesitation from some coaches to say, like, oh, God, Boogie has that coach killer reputation. So maybe, the Pellies don't have, like, 30 resumes on their desk if they do fire Gentry. But, I'm sure that some coach would love, I forget who, I think it was maybe Bill Simmons who tweeted last night, like, who's going to start the Calipari to the Pelicans rumor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that two Kentucky guys. So who knows? But I'm with you. I think, especially, the Pelicans for the last 2 weeks, it sounds like, have been sniffing around to try to find a center to spare the Brow from that kind of pounding every night.
Yeah.
You can't.
Jalil. They were looking at Jalil, right?
Right, exactly. And let's not talk about that, because then all these leaked reports came out after this trade that were like, they were this close to trading for Jalil. They offered like almost the same package. which turned out to be not so true. Ridiculous. No, yeah, they apparently Ramona Shelburne said they were like trying to put top 20 protection on their pick or something. Oh, okay. Yeah, which is, you know, what that's fine. If Colangelo wasn't going to let them do that, I understand. But yeah, I mean, you can't really ask for a better, at least offensively, a better compliment to Anthony Davis than DeMarcus Cousins, who, you know, was putting up nearly 28 points a game. And as you mentioned, he's a vastly improved three-point shooter. He's shooting career best 35% from three, averaging almost two makes a game.
Yeah, two makes.
I mean, I'm really excited also. He's a great passer, Boogie is. Like, he's averaging almost five assists a game. So, like, you can run... How do you stop a Boogie Brow pick and roll?
Right, because Boogie can actually handle the ball.
Right.
And like, yeah, that's actually very intriguing. I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
But you don't. You can't really do that, because then you'd have to put, like, two big men in the pick and roll defensively, and that's not their bread and butter, regardless of who they are.
Right, exactly.
I mean, they would feel out of place regardless. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I don't know that they're going to run, you know, 30 Boogie Brow pick and rolls a game. I don't think that will be the bread and butter of their offense, but it is something that is going to be very hard to defend, especially with so many teams moving away from, you know, big men, like, or having one big and then what we used to think of a three as their four now. Like, how are the Warriors going to defend two, you know, gigantic human beings who can do everything? Like, they have Draymond to stop one of them, but, like, JaVale McGee is going to be badly outmatched against the other one, or Zaza is going to be badly outmatched by the other one. And it's, you know, it's possible that the Warriors and Pelicans now meet in the first round of the playoffs. So, not a great night for the Warriors. They, you know, I think they would still feel confident in the 7-game series, but suddenly that's at least a little more even because of the mismatch potential with Boogie and Brow. And I'm with you. I don't think it's like, you know, we're not going to see a Jahlil Okafor, Joel Embiid kind of mismatch there. Like, I think that both guys are versatile enough offensively and defensively, where if Alvin Gentry can maximize their talent together, it could work very well. That is an open question. So I want to ask you, what do you think now New Orleans should do to build around those guys? What types of players should they target?
Well, first they need to figure out whether they're going to keep Drew Holiday or not this summer. Mm-hmm. It really depends on the success rate of Drew after DeMarcus has become integrated. Like, if he can run the offense, if he can get his shots, if things kind of work out for him, then sure, try to re-sign him. Because you need talent now. Mm-hmm. Now you're really in dire need of additional talent. So, and that's probably the easiest way of having a point guard is to re-sign Drew. I don't imagine like going out on the market and trying for someone else, because that's just not realistic. Like, hey, Stephen Curry,
right,
not gonna happen.
Right. Hey, Chris
especially
Paul,
because of their cap situation.
Yeah.
Right. Chris Paul. Oh, you know what? That could actually be fun. Like, going back to New Orleans.
Right. Yeah. I forgot who I saw this on Twitter this morning. Someone like photoshopped a Players Tribune picture of Chris Paul in a Pelicans uniform, and it was like, my next challenge: playing on a minimum contract.
Oh, that actually would be amazing. Like, if you were willing to take a significant discount and just like throw lobs all day.
Oh God. Yeah. I mean, if you're looking for a way to extend your prime, play with Boogie and Brow for the next 5 years.
Right. But, okay, so they need a slasher. They really, really need a slasher.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an oddball idea.
Okay.
Slightly, at least. But here's the thing. He's probably going to opt into his contract because of his injury, and that was Rudy Gay.
Oh.
Like, so that's the thing. If he does not opt in, if he just opts out and becomes a free agent, and teams are like, okay, we know you have the Achilles injury, we're willing to like wait a little bit, but you have to give us a discount.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, I would probably be willing to roll the dice on that and wait like 6 months into the season for him to return, and then see if he's got something left, and of course make the contract, you know, in your favor, obviously.
Sure. Yep.
And I think there's a chance to that, because how many teams are going to stand in line to sign Rudy?
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good point, especially given the injury, and an Achilles injury is, you know,
yeah, tricky.
Yeah, it's like the ACLs aren't as severe as they once were. I feel like Achilles still have that kind of the reputation of being career altering. Although Wes Matthews, you know, is playing pretty well, but it takes usually a full year after the injury to get back to your old form.
Well, Wes is a shooter, though. He's yeah. just standing out there.
That's true, right. Yeah, if you're, I would guess a slasher is going to have a slightly harder time coming back. But yeah, I mean, that would be a fun one. I think, you know, honestly, I think you're totally right that they need to figure out Drew Holiday's situation first, because re-signing him plus having Brow and Boogie on the roster, like, you're coming close to being capped out, or at least in terms of, like, adding major impact players. Once you get all three of those guys signed, you're going to be pushing up pretty hard against the cap, so that's going to be a challenge. You know, I think you obviously just need more, like, wings and shooters, you know, especially now the Pelicans, because they traded Evans, Galloway, and Hield, they are really light in terms of guards, so I'm not sure what they're going to do for the rest of this season. I think I saw someone report they were high on Quinn Cook, who's in the D League. But
I like Quinn Cook. That's that's not bad.
But I think, like, in terms of guards, it's, correct me if I'm wrong now, but if it's just Holiday, Tim Frazier, and Etuan Moore. So, like,
free Etuan.
I know. I'm excited for that. Yeah. So he should get some more run, and maybe they play Caspi at the two or something like that, or play Solomon Hill. So, you know, long term, they just need to fill out their backcourt around these two guys. Mata Yunus, I think it could be a fun, like, long term backup if he's willing to embrace that role. Who is it? Chris Haynes is reporting they're looking to trade Terrence Jones now, which is a shame because he has history. Oh, he played with Brow at Kentucky. You know, it wouldn't surprise me now. Like, now that they have two superstars, New Orleans could be a free agent destination because it's a fun city, good weather. You know, I don't know. I'm guessing the Cavs and the Warriors still get first crack at those guys who are, like, willing to sign, you know, who are more talented than the biannual exception, but are willing to sign at a discount to play a championship. Because, you know, I don't know that the Pelicans are immediately championship contenders, but, like, especially given their Kentucky pedigree, would not surprise me at all if some, like, fellow Kentucky guys want to go to New Orleans, you know, especially if Calipari goes there. So I don't think they're going to have much trouble building around them if they can figure out the cap constraints.
Well, hell, I just had an idea.
Yeah.
There's a Kentucky guy currently playing pretty poorly who is in dire need of a relocation. His name is Brandon Knight.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He could probably be had fairly cheaply.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah. He's been very bad this year for the Suns.
Yeah, he has. Yeah. But I don't think that's, like, a staple of his career. It seems more like an outlier.
Yeah. Yeah, he was productive last year. That would be – Brandon Knight would be a fun one, especially if Holiday leaves or signs elsewhere. You know, that could be something the Pellies revisit come free agency. So.
Or Knight at the two.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look. They won't really have any size issues anyway. Right. They just got DeMarcus Cousins.
Right.
And, like, what is, like, Drew could handle the two guards, defending the two guard.
Yeah.
Because he's 6'4 and he's a strong defender.
Yep.
They could practically do, like, the Bulls did of old. Like, when you had Kirk Heinrich playing the point guard position for the Bulls, guard Ben Gordon's man, and then Ben Gordon guarded the one.
Yeah.
Like, just switch.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be fine.
That's true. That's a good one. We should, Del Demps, get back on the phone. I know you're probably out celebrating right now, but there are still moves to be made.
I think he's working his ass off right now to actually build upon this.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Omer Asik, I mean, he's probably calling the Kings back up. Hey, you forgot Omer.
Yeah, right.
Omer, like, Omer.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, we railed on the Kings for good reason, but I want to present the glass half full side of things. Kings fans who are on,
I knew it was coming.
Who are on the verge of a dark place.
I'm just going to sit back and let you go into fantasy land.
Okay. All right. So I want to focus on first if there is any defense for the Kings trading Boogie, regardless of the value they got back for him. Like, obviously, if you get Jimmy Butler back, there's, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been reading a couple pieces. You know, the Sacramento Kings TV announcer, once the trade got announced, did not hold back about Boogie and basically said, like, all of his teammates hated him and he's been, like, a poison for the organization, so now they can move forward. Howard Beck of Bleacher Report, who's, you know, used to work for the New York Times, a very well-respected reporter, he did not go as far as the Kings announcer, but he did write a column today that said the Kings were the big winners of this deal because it allows them to move forward in terms of culture. So, you know, they were fearful of committing so much money, especially this summer. They could give him a $200 million contract to a guy who already has 16 technical fouls before the All-Star break and is getting suspended for every other tech he's getting for the rest of the season. You know, Boogie has notoriously butted heads with some of his past coaches, past teammates. I don't think, you know, if this was another franchise, I don't think we would be mocking them as mercilessly as we are now. I think because it's the Kings, that's getting a little bit of, they're getting hammered harder for that. That said, you know, the value was awful. I really have to imagine they could have gotten more if they held out. I don't think that Boogie necessarily, you know, he has these character concerns, and we talked about the Kevin Arnovitz piece from a couple weeks ago, which was really great about, like, where is the dysfunction stemming from? Is it Boogie or is it the organization? And it's kind of like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, I don't think that Boogie is guaranteed to be as dysfunctional in New Orleans as he is in, as he was in Sacramento. I think especially playing next to Brow, that's going to give him a lot more reason to not necessarily fall in line, but at least, like, you know, he's not the sole face of the franchise. So he's not going to get away with as much murder in New Orleans as he did in Sacramento. But also, like, he has a real teammate now, and he knows he's out of a completely dysfunctional organization. So, like, I think Boogie can thrive elsewhere. I just think he was never going to work in Sacramento. So for that reason, if Sacramento knows that and they're really that hesitant to build around him long term, I can understand trading him. And, you know, maybe, like, there have been reports out that they really love Buddy Hield for whatever reason. You know, this will almost certainly ensure that their 2017 first-round pick does not go to the Bulls. It was owed to Chicago if it falls outside of the top 10. And they were, I think they're 11th right now. So they've been, like, hovering in that range for most of the season. So now there's a, you know, pretty good shot they're going to get their own pick. They probably are going to implode sans Boogie for the rest of the year. So, like, you know, give or take, that pick will be in the, like, 6 to 8 range. Given how deep this draft class is, there is value there. They can get someone like Malik Monk there, Frank Ntilikina. You know, there is going to be value where they're picking. And with that New Orleans pick, like, they have the tools to start a rebuild. My thing is, based on what we've seen from this Kings management, especially over the last couple of years, that's where I have no confidence moving forward. I just don't think they know what they're doing. Or even if they did and they say, all right, we're going to stick to a hard rebuild for 3 years and we're not going to rush things forward, a year from now, we don't know if that's the case.
Right. I would agree with more or less everything there. And you just had to bring up the draft pick, right?
Uh-huh.
You just had to. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. No, well, because, I mean, as a Sixers fan, like, this is the best thing that could have happened. Because, you know, it was when the reports came out that Boogie was going to sign that max 5-year extension, it was like, oh, well, you know, that 2019 first-round pick is still going to be good because they're the Kings and they can't make the playoffs. But it's like, that could be in the 10 to 14 range. Now that you know, knock on wood, I don't know how it's going to be outside of the top 5. Like, that team's going to be really bad for a number of years. So
Sam Hinkie is, like, Nostradamus.
Yeah, man. He literally keeps winning a year after being forced out of the organization. Like, now there's a very realistic chance that pick swap this year comes into play. And then that 2019 first rounder, like outside of the Nets picks owed to Boston, I don't think there's a single pick in the league that's more valuable that's already been traded than that 2019 Kings pick.
All thanks to Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
No, but like, all right. So you're absolutely right. I'm on the fence, or on the side of the fence that says it was the organization.
Yeah,
I think Boogie, of course, he had some sort of responsibility in this, but he got off on the wrong foot with the Kings almost immediately, or they did with him. They really couldn't handle him, and then they started babying him, and things just went out of hand early on. And then they shuffled coaches, just like I'm changing underwear. And,
right.
I mean, that doesn't really help matters if you have a player who is looking for stability. Like,
right.
We've talked about this before, but I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up again. Mike Malone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here was a guy, Boogie, you know, found his coach, you know?
Yeah.
Those two got along. There was some mutual respect there, and things worked out. Boogie got sick, so right. The Kings sucked, and because of that, you're fired.
Yeah. Yeah.
What? Like, how does that make any sense? That it doesn't. It's ridiculous and it's short-sighted, and that's really how the Kings operate. I mean, look, you have an owner who believes that you need like a legend of the club to run your business, who doesn't even understand the NBA salary cap.
Right.
That's a similar concern I have about Magic in Los Angeles, by the way.
Yeah,
like that doesn't come like in a summer's time.
Right,
that takes years to understand.
Right,
like the nuances of the CBA.
Totally.
Takes years, man. And here you have Lottie in who doesn't understand the simple, you know, what was it that
the
he didn't understand?
The stretch provision
about
and
the stretch provision and like the matching of salaries and something like it was some like simple stuff. Like, how does that even happen? That's
right.
Like taking a guy in off the street,
right? You might
no,
be more
really
successful
is.
With that
yeah.
approach, yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I'm on Boogie's side in this. I think he was mismanaged enormously. And I've read Twitter, and I've seen a lot of Kings fans going like, oh, we finally got the cancer out of here, and yada, yada,
right.
yada. Yeah, you're going to be surprised.
Yeah.
You're going to be surprised because it's the same incompetent front office
right.
that's going to handle your rebuilding process. So good luck, Kings fans.
Yeah.
Or at least to those fans.
Right.
Because the guys who are like Tom Siller, who's crying right now,
yeah.
I imagine.
Oh, no. His,
I feel so bad.
Yeah, his column today was heartbreaking. I feel
yeah,
really... I mean, Kings fans, if you need to like just peace out on the organization, come to the Sixers. Like, we're going to use your picks for the next two of the next three
yeah.
years anyway.
Yeah.
So
don't come to the Bulls, though.
Right.
Don't come to the Bulls. That's just going to make you even more sad. Like, because I have a feeling that Gar Foreman saw this trade and he was like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Right. That's all they could get for Boogie. Oh no, let's just take Terry Rozier and a 2023 second round pick for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
We're good. Let's just get out before the price falls even lower. Yeah. I think you're spot on. It's just that front office, like that was Howard Beck's column too, was like, you know, they're the winners because they don't have to deal with Boogie and they can't really fall any lower. But I'm like, nah, Vlade and Vivek are still there, so they most certainly can fall lower. The only condolence to Kings fans is that they are literally not allowed to trade their 2018 first round pick because of the Stepien rule. Otherwise,
right.
like, you know, it wouldn't shock me if they traded that for, you know, they switch directions once they see how bad they are without Boogie, tried to trade that pick. Which they
for
probably
magic beans.
Yeah, right. Well, they probably
like really.
They probably don't even know they can't trade that pick yet. Like, find out in negotiations a couple months down the line.
So I actually have a quick question for you.
Yeah.
Should like, since the league intervened with the Chris Paul to Lakers trade, because and they argued competitive balance.
Sure.
Should they consider denying this trade?
Well, the only reason they got involved in that was because they owned the Hornets
owned
at
the
time.
Team.
So I think because of that, that's why they did that. So I don't think they can do it with the Kings. That said, I would love to find out why they haven't called Jerry Colangelo and been like, hey, this franchise has no direction. Why don't you come help them out as a special advisor? Like, if the if the Sixers got that treatment after, like, trading, you know, accepting a salary dump with these picks attached last year yep. with the Kings, like, where's the league intervention there? So, no, I don't think they cancel the trade, but I do think it's time for a Colangelo to intervene. If they want Brian, they can go right ahead and take him. We'll just happily take Sam Hinkie back.
This was a Gasol trade, like the Pau Gasol to Lakers trade.
Right.
And unlike, there isn't a hidden Marc Gasol in
this. Right. Well, maybe Buddy Hield. We'll see.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. By the way, it's kind of romantic. The Kings practically ended up where they started out with Tyreke Evans.
Yeah.
Now they have Tyreke. They have a senior in Buddy Hield, which you could sort of put a Jimmer Fredette tag on.
Oh, God.
They're basically where they started up, just without Cousins. So the Kings just turned into what, their 2009 version?
That sounds right. So I do want to try to spin a little bit more silver lining here. Because I do think Willie Cauley-Stein could be productive in bigger minutes. Like, he was coming on lately, even with Cousins in the lineup. Now there's talk of him. I think Wojnarowski reported that he's going to be their starting center from this point forward.
Yeah.
You know, he's fun. Like, he's a good defensive player. His offensive game is a little bit starting to come around. Like, luckily, the Kings were preparing for this moment in the last two drafts by only selecting big men between Cauley-Stein and Papagiannis and Skal. Like, they're good. They've got a bunch of bigs. Now they have about 18 shooting guards if they don't waive Langston Galloway, which there is rumored, you know, I think Woj said they might do that, or if they don't waive Tyreke, because they also have Ben McLemore, Aaron Aflalo, Malachi Richardson, and now Buddy Hield. So you have to figure more moves are coming on that end. But I do think Willie Cauley-Stein could be one of the underrated winners of this deal. Just in that, like, I think he is a productive NBA player. Frankly, I think, you know, because Rudy Gay is hurt, I think Willie Cauley-Stein is probably the best player on that roster right now.
Ooh.
Which, yeah, I know. which
playing 13 minutes a game. He's like,
I know, but like,
you're in trouble.
Look at that depth chart and tell me who's better on that roster. Like, I mean, maybe you could argue Darren Collison and Ty Lawson are.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But they're going to, you know, both are free agents in July. Like, which theoretical building block is better than Cauley-Stein?
Oh my God, you're right.
Yeah.
Like, looking at that, maybe Malachi Richardson.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
If he finds that. I mean, he's a pretty good jump shooter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, oh God.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I see where you're coming from. This is really a bad job.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm left with. I'm kind of hoping, just because of the Bulls pick, or the Kings pick that they owe the Bulls, that Tyreke Evans just goes ape.
Yeah, that would be so fitting if, like, because they made this move in theory to protect that pick. So if they if they finish at 11, or if, like, a team, you know, they finish at 10, but, like, the 13th place team jumps them into the top three and pushes them to 11. Oh, God.
Right. That would be perfect.
Oh.
And that's karma as well. Like, there is a level of karma that needs to be induced here. I mean, just saying. No, look, when I woke up to this trade,
mm-hmm.
and as did you, because you were drunk off your ass.
Right. Yeah.
Because that's how you celebrate the All-Star.
Yep. Yep. Sure is.
And you wrote me like in a daze. Is this right?
I know.
Is this happening? Yeah. Like, and I woke up to it as well. I wasn't drunk, but I was like, I probably should be. I think I should be, because that didn't make a lick of sense. And I was like waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was like, I was going through like my suggested tweets, because I've been offline for so many hours.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, okay. So they're trading. I'm probably missing some details. I'll just scroll through the feed. I'll go to Vogue, I'll go to all these sources, and it just hit me like, nope, there is no additional tweet.
Yep.
There is no additional asset that is going to be moved. Are you kidding me? Is this it? What?
I know.
Not even Drew Holiday?
I know, right. Exactly. I was like, but what about, like, what other, there's at least two first-round picks that they got, right? Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, all right, yeah. So, I don't want to make Kings fans feel too bad. So, we can, I want to move on to two more questions here.
Yeah.
Okay, first, there are reports that New Orleans made this trade without consulting Boogie or his agents, which means they are not... I think Ramona Shelburne was the one who said they are privately confident in their ability to re-sign him, but they have not consulted Boogie or his agents about whether he will sign, re-sign there as a free agent in 2018. So do you think they should have made this move and given up Buddy Hield and, you know, their pick this year without the assurances that he will re-sign there a year and a half from now?
Because the price was so low, I have no problem with it whatsoever. And I think that's the logic they applied as well. Like, they looked at that deal and they were like, who gives a crap? Like, let's cross that bridge when we get there. This offer is too good for us to pass down or to pass up right now.
Right.
I mean, it's so lopsided in our favor. Right. So let's just do it and let's see what happens. Like, that's... But of course, like, they could have made a phone call. Like, it's a phone call. And I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to talk right now. They're probably talking right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And if it really depends on what happens on the court.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, talk is cheap. Mm-hmm. Like, even if Boogie was like, hey, you know what? I would like to re-sign here at the end of the day. If things just got mugged up, then he probably wouldn't, and he would change his mind. So it doesn't really matter. It just depends on whether they can play together, and I think they can. And I think, most of all, Boogie's going to enjoy this.
Yeah.
I think he's going to feel liberated. He might not feel liberated right now because he was looking forward to the $200 million, and he was like, he loved Sacramento.
Right.
I mean, we should kind of remember to say that.
He
loved Sacramento.
Right.
I mean, he really did. So it's going to take some time for him to adjust. But at the end of the day, I think he is going to absolutely love being free of all the madness.
Yeah.
Like, and you have Anthony Davis alongside you.
Yeah.
Like, you are in no position to be upset right now.
Right. Exactly. I'm with you. I did see a column, I forget from who, circulating on Twitter either last night or this morning, that was kind of saying, like, you know, if he leaves in 2018, this is a disaster and Dell Demps should be fired. And I'm with you. Like, the price was so low.
No.
That, yeah. Like, you so rarely get a chance to have two top 10 players on the same roster. And if you're paying that little for that chance, even if there's only, like, even if the odds are 50-50 that he re-signs there in 2 years, you have to make that play. Because otherwise, like, you know, we talked about it earlier, the Pelicans didn't really have a way out of their mess. There was no, like, avenue to add a player of Cousins' caliber in free agency, unless, I mean, they got, you know, maybe Chris Paul really does miss New Orleans, but aside from that, like, they weren't going to get a player of DeMarcus Cousins' caliber unless they had a trade, and they didn't have the assets to pull off a superstar trade, or so we thought. It was just the Kings got desperate or something happened behind the scenes and they decided to move on from him. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. Ideally, you would like that assurance, but even if you don't have it, you have to try. Hope he likes it. You know, you've got a year and a half to sell him on your organization, so it's not, again, it's not like a two-month rental. You've got plenty of time. And, you know, I think him just being free of the dysfunction in Sacramento, as you said, is going to make him really appreciate playing basketball again. So we're on the same page there. So now the last question that I saw, you know, floating around there on Twitter today, there's a lot of talk of how this may have been the first domino in terms of unintended consequences from the new CBA, because, you know, under the new agreement, a team can offer a player a designated veteran player extension, which would, for the Kings, would have been like 5 years and slightly north of $200 million for Boogie. So it sounds like they were hesitant to give him that much money, and that kind of pressured them into trading him while they still could get, at least, you know, they didn't get much value for him, but they got something in return for him, rather than like having to sign him to that huge contract. So do you think this is kind of, you know, that DPE is going to have unintended consequences moving forward? Do you see this situation being replicated elsewhere, Or do you think this is a one-time anomaly based on all of the other baggage that Boogie and Sacramento had?
That's a big question there, Bri, because, I mean, we've yet to really hit that time of the year where we're going to see these mega contracts. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a whole new ball game in terms of how you manage the cap, how much players can earn. Think about, like, Mike Conley signed the richest deal for $145 million, right?
I think it was like 150 or somewhere in that neighborhood.
All right, like, but even if it was 150, like 200 million, that's an additional 50 million.
Right.
I think at the end of the day, teams are a little bit hesitant.
Yeah.
I think there are some teams are not all. I think there are a lot of geniuses out there in the organizations who understand. Well, this is just how the wind blows, and the TV deals just done this and. There's plenty of cap space. It isn't a concern, mm-hmm. which it isn't. It's just, I mean, everything is as it was. It was just it's inflated prices now, right? It's inflated salaries and inflated cap. So the percentages remain the same.
Right.
It's just because when you look on paper, $200 million, it kind of stands out. And I think the Kings, because of Boogie, because of all the dysfunction that's been there, I mean, obviously they were hesitant. I think the same as would be applicable to the Bulls and Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. because when you are eligible for $200 million, you are in the age range of about 26 to 28,
yeah,
ish, mm-hmm. in that area,
right?
And then if you sign for five,
yeah,
then at the end of the day you're gonna be 32,
right?
33,
yep,
maybe,
mm-hmm.
and no one wants to pay a guy like. Yeah, what is that going to come out to? 40 plus million?
Yeah, right, exactly.
When they're 33?
Yeah.
So I do think there's a slight concern about that. And it wouldn't surprise me to see more teams apply this logic, but we don't know yet. Right. I mean, this whole cap situation, it's so new to all of us. We have to, like, understand it. You have no idea how many questions I got, like, last year from all my Danish followers, and they were like, hey, that's overpaying. Like, how could a guy like Etuan Moore get 8? Right. That doesn't even make sense. That's for almost an all-star. I'm like, No. Look at the percentages.
Right.
Look at the percentages. It's just a whole new way of thinking. I would have done it for Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I would, because the talent is undeniable.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he can't right now, so New Orleans kind of lucked out on that one.
Right, yeah. So as you alluded to, you can only give that to guys who you either traded for on their rookie deal or who have been with your team for the entire time. So, and yeah, it's only two guys, I think, coming out of the eighth and ninth year of their NBA service. So it's like a very, very small pool of players. Assuming Paul George is on an NBA all NBA team this year, he's going to probably be the next test case this summer, because he will be eligible for such an extension. And I think there was a story that broke during All-Star break that he wouldn't commit to doing it just yet, because he was saying, like, I want to play for a winner, I want to play for a contender. And earlier this season, he voiced his frustration with Indiana. It seems like he put that on the back burner temporarily, but. It's going to be really interesting to see, because, when the reports of that first came out, first it was like, oh, well, it's, such a small player pool, it's not really going to affect all that many franchises. But the theory was it's going to help franchises retain their superstars. But if it's like, if they see that price tag and wince and, like, decide, hey, as you mentioned, like, I don't want to be paying a guy $45 million when he's 33 years old, then is it really going to be helping these teams retain these guys? Or is there going to be some bad blood? I don't think they have to offer the full 35%. Like, they could offer 32.5% of the cap. But is that going to generate bad blood in extension negotiations?
First world problem.
Yeah, right.
I mean, honestly, 32.5 or 35, like, that is so much money on a huge cap anyway. I mean, I get it. Like, you want to get your money's worth. You're a player, you get marketed, and you probably bring in a whole lot more money than you're earning. Mm-hmm. So, look, I get it. It's just, we are in a ballpark that I never for the life of me thought we'd be in.
Right.
$200 million contract. I remember when Kobe signed his $136.4 million contract back with the Lakers. I think it was 2004? Something like that? No, maybe a little bit later, 2006. I don't know. But when he signed that, it was like an explosion went off in the entire league. Like, $136.4 million? Like, it was Kobe Bryant, though.
Right.
So you kind of understood it, but it was like, that's a Michael Jordan deal.
Yeah, right.
In terms of how rich it was. And now you're looking at guys who aren't the best player in the league, who's like, easily going to get a $200 million contract. And you said north because it could be like 210.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to go up with the cap. So, you know, if the cap goes up to $120 million by 2020, which I think was floating around there as a projection, like...
Right.
I haven't done the math, but just you got to figure that's probably pushing 225, 230, maybe 250. Like, there are going to be enormous sums of money floating around. So
a quarter of $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's kind of my point. This is going to be an adjustment period. I think a lot of owners are also looking at themselves in the mirror and going, "Oof, these are big numbers."
Right.
Like, we're getting a lot of money in, but these are big deals, so we have to think twice. This is a lot of money that we have to like dangle with.
Yeah.
But have you noticed like so many teams now, almost like a play on the court is you have to shoot threes and you have to get layups. It's almost like in today's NBA, you have max guys and then you have minimum guys. Like the mid-range guy, he is more or less dead.
Yeah, they're getting priced out.
You won't find them.
Yeah. Aside from, like, there were the smart teams like the Pelicans who signed Etuan to $8 million a year and to Solomon Hill for, like, $12 million a year. So, like, those guys do exist, but they are definitely shrinking in number because you have the Lakers who are paying Timofey Mozgov $16 million a year and giving Luol Deng 4 years $72 million. Bismack Biyombo in Orlando is getting $18 million a year. So it's like there is definitely more disparity between the highly paid guys and the not highly paid guys. I'm wondering if, you know, now we're approaching the territory where the percentages will catch up with the cap. Like, there's not going to be a $24 million jump in the salary cap every year. So, like, after a couple more years, we might return to some sense of normalcy where, like, you know, the LeBron Jameses and Kevin Durants of the world get their 35%. There are more guys back into that middle range, which will still be more money, but, like, the middle range will now be 10 to 15 million, whereas, like, percentage-wise tied to the cap, that would have been 6 to 8 a couple of years ago. So
yeah, let's hope so. Just to give some other people a shot at a decent deal as well, right? Because right now the way the GMs are looking for guys is very Sam Hinkie like the Robert Covington deal,
right?
Like
right.
They find these undrafted guys and they're going to them like, hey, you know what? I want to sign you for 4 years. And these guys who are not like on the NBA radar, generally speaking, are like, 4 years? Really? Yep. $4 million, 4 years. $4 million? Are you kidding me? Yeah, I'll sign up for that.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they are outperforming. I mean, like, what is Rob going to sign for? 15?
I mean, definitely like easy, eight figures. There is no question.
Yeah.
Or he should. I mean, I hope the Sixers can retain him for as little as possible. But yeah, I mean, even look at a guy like TJ McConnell. Same deal. Like, TJ McConnell is, you know, probably if Matthew Dellavedova got, 4 years, $30 million? Like,
yeah.
TJ's probably in line for a deal similar in size, but he's signed now, I think, for 2 more years for probably $1 million every year. So,
yeah
it's definitely the CBA, you know, it doesn't actually go into effect until July. So we will just have to wait and see how it affects things. But if this boogie situation was any indication, we need to keep a close eye on how that affects negotiations, especially for superstars moving forward. Because, you know, selfishly, again, for the Sixers purposes, I was thinking, hey, it's, you know, now they can retain Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. But if they're suddenly scared to give Embiid $250 million because he can't stay healthy for a full season, those negotiations get a little trickier. So, Mort, any final thoughts on this? Any aspect of this trade before we wrap up?
Well, just to comment, really, Dell Demps, he's obviously going to be a candidate for Executive of the Year award, but yeah. I think we need to put in a clause in that in that award saying that if you ripped off the Kings, it doesn't really qualify,
right?
Because everyone can do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And now the Kings don't have anything more they can be ripped off at, so like they are the most empty organization right now. I mean, what kind of assets outside of some draft picks do they have?
Yeah, like, and they don't even have. They've been fleeced. They don't have control of their 2017 or 2019 firsts. So the earliest they could trade is 2021.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they are right there with Brooklyn in terms of asset poor organizations, but at least Brooklyn has Brook Lopez. So once, you know, if and when Brooklyn trades Lopez, possibly by Thursday, it's going to be a fun competition to measure who has the sadder the sadder future, the Kings or the Nets. But I would choose the Kings because I have more faith in Sean Marks.
Oh, definitely.
You know, he made some...
like he has the creativity to actually play the restricted free agency market.
Yeah.
Like Vlade Divac, he's probably asking what a restricted free agent is.
Yeah, so I think let's just wrap this up by saying, Kings fans, we are so sorry for you. You deserve better than this. You have been some of the most loyal fans of any organization, especially based on what they continue to put you through. For you to stick with them says more about your character than just anything. So again, condolences. If you want a new bandwagon, come to the Sixers. You can enjoy Markel Fultz with us, because you probably gave him to us. But otherwise...
You're a cruel little man right now.
Yeah. So on that note, we'll wrap things up here. Thanks again for listening to the NBA podcast. Just a reminder to follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. You can find all three of our Twitter handles in there as well. So give us a follow. Again, we are on iTunes as well, so please be sure to subscribe, to download, to leave us some reviews. We'd love any feedback. And Kings fans, please don't hate us for how mean we were at parts of this. We really tried to be nice, but it was pretty hard. And again, we're being hosted on FanRag Sports this year, so check them out on Twitter, at FanRag Sports, and for their NBA content, at FanRag NBA. We will have a lot on this Boogie trade in particular. I have a column up right now about the fantasy basketball implications of the trade. So if you want to, if you're a fantasy player, go pick up Willie Cauley-Stein and Buddy Hield. But otherwise, go check out the column. As always, I'm Brian Toporek, and Mort, thanks for joining me in this emergency pod. Hopefully we don't have a Jimmy Butler one in the coming days.
Well, if the deal is okay, I wouldn't mind, but I just kind of doubted that it is.
Yeah, so. Right. We forgot to talk about Danny Ainge, but we'll do that next time, because we're both assuming this has now emboldened him to offer nothing more than Terry Rozier in any trade for anyone. All right, boy. Take care.
Likewise, Brian.
Welcome to Total Wine & More. It's much more than a wine store. It's the eighth wonder of the world.
When people talk about Total Wine & More, they get a little carried away. We're just a big, friendly place run by people with a passion for wine and beer. See, we travel the world to find the best wines from the best regions, and we sell them at the lowest prices anywhere.
And friendly, helpful experts at every turn.
You know what? Maybe we are the eighth wonder of the world.
Shop in-store or online at TotalWine.com.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy. They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.